Adams of the Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Time to talk movies with Alan Adams of the Main Edge. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor. Hi, Al. Welcome in, sir.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. How's your day so far?
So far, so good. So far, so good.
Yeah, nice weekend and all that?
Yeah, no, it was nice. Did the usual Sunday where that's kind of my big writing day. But on Saturday night, I actually went out to Eddington to check out the 10 Bucks Theater's 24-hour new play festival.
Yes.
I did a little write up for that, and that'll be in this week's edition of the paper. But it was a lot of fun. It's one of those events that I'm very happy that it exists. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I keep every year I go and I'm like, oh, I should really give this a shot. This could be a lot of fun. And then the next year rolls around and it's like, oh yeah, I'm sure it would be a lot of fun, but I'm lazy. I'd much rather watch other people do it.
Right, I hear you.
That was a lot of fun. That was our big Saturday evening hoorah. So that was nice.
Very good, very good. Well, we're here to talk movies this afternoon, and you saw a pair of them. Which one should we start with?
All right, so we'll start with we'll get American Assassin out of the way.
Okay,
it's one of those action movies. It's literally as generic as its title. It starts Dylan O'Brien, who he's in those Maze Runner movies, which is it's the Hunger Games except it's a maze. He plays this guy who his girlfriend fiance dies in a terrorist attack while they're vacationing, and so he devotes himself to tracking down the people responsible. Does the whole firearms training and MMA stuff. Like, there's a whole montage where you see him training, and he kind of jumps on the chat rooms and tries to ingratiate himself with them to sort of track them down. Does so, but winds up getting pulled in by the CIA, because that's what happens when you do that sort of thing.
Well, that's what I hear. Yeah. Always the risk.
Where he's been recruited for a special project called Project Orion, which is basically the training elite anti-terrorist soldier types. It's a program led by Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton is the leader of the training program.
I didn't see that coming.
He tries to get this guy to harness his anger, and they they're training and stuff, and then some plutonium disappears, and they have to figure out how to track it down. And it turns out the person responsible has some mysterious connections to Project Orion, and is also Riggins from Friday Night Lights.
Wow.
It's fine. Like, it was, like, I had a perfectly good time. It's not like it's one of those movies that's gonna challenge you a whole lot. You sit there, you munch some popcorn for a couple hours. There's some explosions, some punching, some guns. The good guys are good, the bad guys are bad, and in the end, it all kind of works out. Implausibly, but it all works out. On the flip side of that, speaking of, going from movies that don't challenge you at all to movies that maybe challenge you a little bit more than they ought to, I saw Mother, lowercase m exclamation point.
And you're looking at the cast list at Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, Ed Harris, isn't it?
And this is Darren Aronofsky.
Yep. And I'm a big fan of Darren Aronofsky. Like, I've loved his movies since I saw Pi when I was, just a couple of years out of high school. Like, I really love what he brings to the table as a visual stylist and as someone with interesting ideas about the sort of the nature of interpersonal dynamics and blurring that line between delusion and reality. Like, that's like, all that stuff is great, and it's all here in this movie, but it's wrapped up in what I can only describe as a just gory, confusing, brilliantly shot, narratively scattered, biblical allegory. You've got Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem living in this ramshackle, dilapidated house that she's trying to restore. Neither one of them is ever named in the credits. She is mother and he is him. She's basically a homemaker trying to restore his childhood home after a fire. He is this sort of renowned poet that has been suffering from a great deal of writer's block for a number of years. And they're living in this weirdly isolated house in the middle of nowhere. And then one night, just out of nowhere, this guy shows up in the credits, known as Man, played by Ed Harris. Ostensibly he's there because he was directed here looking for a place to stay. But then it turns out that maybe he had ulterior motives because he's a big fan of the poet's work and et cetera, et cetera. So the poet invites him to stay, much to the chagrin of mother. And then next thing you know, the man's wife, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, also shows up. They're very curious about all the goings on there in the house. And then so much so that they wind up, their kids wind up showing up, their two sons, played by Brian and Domhnall Gleeson, so like real life brothers playing the brothers. And then more and more people start showing up, with a combination of adulation, adoration for the poet, and a general sort of dismissive disdain for mother. And she keeps trying to tell him, get these people out of my house. Like, I just want it to be us. Why can't it just be us? And, he keeps kind of placating her, but then in bringing more people into the house, she winds up getting pregnant and there's a kid. And then it gets weird. Like, I'm not going to go into...
Then it gets weird.
Oh, man.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into specifics because
like
there's...
Black Swan kind of weird?
Oh, like at least there's a modicum of, sense that can be pulled from Black Swan. Like, this goes full on, like I don't even know how to describe how chaotic and just insane the last, say, quarter of this movie is. Again, it's like there's fire and blood and just like these really incredible, just incredibly striking visual pictures that are combined with a story that is at best confusing and at worst kind of unsettling in a lot of ways. It's one of the most polarizing movies by all accounts of the that's come along in years, certainly in any sort of mainstream release. It shocks me that a major studio released this movie on 2,000 screens. I could see people being actively not just not liking the movie, being actively angry and upset and offended,
really,
by the movie. I wasn't one of those people. I feel like I liked it more than some. Sheridan, while acknowledging the skill that went into making the film, did not care for it at all. And I totally
get it.
Is it
the subject matter itself or the graphic nature?
It's a combination of it all. And then, you bring that together with this sort of weird, almost fetishization of Jennifer Lawrence that goes on. Someone actually did a count. First of all, there's this tendency that of having her in close up for extended periods of time, and not just close up, cut off, at the chin in the middle of the forehead close up. The number I saw was 66 minutes of runtime that was just close up on her face. and it feels that way. I can't stress enough. I think it's a well-made movie. I think Darren Aronofsky is an incredible talent. I am very curious as to where he went to church as a child, because he, between this and, because his last movie was Noah, the sort of, gritty reboot of the Ark story. You put these two together and you're like, man, you are working through some things. and that's fine. And that's where a lot of great art comes from. I just think that this movie is far too polarizing for its own good. I think in some ways Aronofsky maybe loses the forest for the trees a little bit, like focusing so much on pulling together, you know, on constructing this sort of allegorical storytelling, that he kind of maybe loses the point and loses the audience. And again, like, he's never been one to be afraid of being aggressive and confrontational with his audience. You know, I think some of his best work, you mentioned Black Swan, Requiem for a Dream is another one where it's really just very, very overt and over the top in that sort of dealing with the audience. I think this might be a bridge too far.
Is it entertaining at all?
Oh, no.
No.
No. No, there's nothing. I will say there are a few moments of dark humor. The supporting cast, the Gleesons, Harris, and especially Michelle Pfeiffer are all very good. You know, and I mean, it's, you know, Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem are both very talented. The nature of the story being told, I don't think necessarily suits either of their strengths. And again, I think part of the way the film was constructed, especially around Lawrence, rumor has it that she and Aronofsky are actually an item. And I think that part of it is, I honestly,
well,
and
they are now,
and that sounds, and it sounds, you know, ridiculous. But I feel like that definitely contributed to that sort of close up, like almost this weird need he had to be very, very close to her throughout the telling of the story. Again, like. I struggled for a long time to figure out just exactly how I felt about this movie, and I'm still dealing with it. And that's, I suppose, that speaks well of it as a piece of art. Like, you know, art is supposed to challenge, art is supposed to make you think, and I'm certainly still thinking. But at the end of the day, you're making a major studio movie. Like, you spent $30 million making this film. Ultimately, there has to be an entertainment component to it, doesn't there? Like, I mean, that's kind of where I'm coming down on it. Like, I don't have a problem with being antagonistic with your audience when you're doing, you know, some sort of, you know, micro budget mumblecore thing. But like, this is a studio release. You've got movie stars in this, you know, and the fact that it was kind of marketed as some sort of, you know, kind of standard issue horror movie, it is not that at all. It's not particularly scary, but it is unsettling in a way that I'll probably be thinking about for some time.
Well, there you go. Mother and American Assassin, Alan Adams' take on both of them here on Downtown and Past the Popcorn. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.